Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Happy Monday. It's Monday, November 16th, 2015. And I am your host, Erica Black, and you have tuned in to Pull It Together with Erica Black, a show that is here to motivate you and inspire you every Monday at noon Eastern Standard Time in the United States on Blog Talk Radio. So welcome. Hopefully you had a good weekend. I had a wonderful weekend here in the Tampa Bay area where I am living the life of my dreams right here and right now, and I want the same for you. If you're not feeling it, I can help. I give free coaching sessions to anyone that wants a free session where I can impart, get to know you a little bit, impart some of my tools that I have and wisdom to help you have a better life for sure. And I have a 6-month program called Thrive where, you know, we really break it down. I give you all my best tools and all my support to help you get from here to there, from here where you may be just dreading Mondays or getting through your life to there, actually start living the life that you want with purpose, joy, and intention. Hopefully you're feeling those things today. Today we're talking about grief, which is really important because a lot of people are grieving. We're talking about how to get past the pain, right? It's real important. So if you have any questions or comments along the way, you can definitely come into the chat room here on blogtalkradio.com, or you can call in, and the guest call-in number is 646-668-2473. This is super important because everyone experiences grief on different levels throughout their life. I mean, some losses are much bigger than others, right, much more profound. And, you know, some are small, but they still impact us. And it's really important to understand the stages of grief and how to move through them and get to the other side, because people get stuck sometimes, you know. So we're going to talk about all of that. But like I said, if you want a free coaching session, you can get in touch with me at any point. You can email me at youcanpullittogether@gmail.com. You can also call me. My direct number is area code 513-646-0767. So you can text or phone number and schedule your free coaching session because I would love to help you move forward. That's what Pull It Together is all about, helping people move forward. So, you know, we had some real serious events happen in the world. And, you know, there have been serious events happening, right, all over the world for, well, you know, it just happens. Terrorist attack. So we have that going on in France. And so a lot of people are grieving, right? A lot of people are grieving. And even if you don't know anyone, you don't live in France, maybe you're just, you hear about it on the news, there's some kind of a grief going on. But for sure, you know, about 200 people died, and it was just, you know, senseless, useless carnage. And so that is very, very sad. And so I really just want to go ahead and say a prayer, right? Dear God, for all those who are hurting in the world, all over the world, you know who they are, you love them very, very much. For all the ones that we lost, they're with you. And for all the ones who are hurting right now, no matter what the loss is, I just pray that you would interfere and intervene in their pain, that you would give them peace, your peace that doesn't make sense in times of trouble, and that you will sustain them and bring them through, and that also you would use my words, bring them in line with your will and your truth today to bring healing to the hurting. Amen. All right. So anyhow, how do we handle grief? Well, grief happens. You know, there are all different kinds of losses can have someone that you love pass away or pass on, right, from this life, leaving a void. Certainly, most of us have endured that at one point in time or another. I mean, I've had plenty of loved ones leave this planet. I've had more experience than most, probably, of my age. You can lose a relationship that's really important, break up a friendship or a love relationship. And, you know, it's important to know, as Elizabeth Kubler-Ross says, you'll not get over the loss of a loved one. You will learn to live with it. You will heal, and you will rebuild yourself around the loss that you've suffered. You will be whole again, but you won't be the same, nor should you be the same, nor would you want to, right? I mean, people leave an imprint on our souls. You know, every person that we've loved in our life, family member, friend, or spouse, significant other, leaves an imprint on our lives, a part of our story, right? We don't have to let that define us, but we're not the same as we were. I mean, I can think back to when I was 16 and I worked at I got a job leading an exercise class at a women's gym, right? And because I got that job, I met my friend Deborah. Because I met Deborah, I ended up working at a Chinese restaurant. I mean, it's a crazy, because Deborah was my friend and she got me that job. You know, later on, I ended up meeting my son's biological father. So, you know, all kinds of things, you know, if circumstances wouldn't have happened, you know, a lot of, you know, things wouldn't have come into place, you know. So anyway, you know, it's all part of our story. But like I said, they don't have to define us and we can move forward. So what are the stages of grief? You know, the first one is denial. You know, it's the first of five stages, and it really, it helps us survive. When we go into denial, we can't believe it. The world kind of becomes meaningless and overwhelming, and life doesn't make sense because we're in a state of shock and denial. It's almost as if our world stops, right? Our world starts. And, of course, the world continues. You know, I mean, it's shocking when you're in that state, when you're numb and you're in denial, because your world has come to a crashing halt, and you look around and, you know, people are still driving their cars, and the sun still comes up, and people are still carrying on and doing their stuff, right? And the world goes on, but our world stops, and we wonder how we can go on. And we try to find a way to simply just get through every day. So denial and shock really are coping mechanisms, and they help us to cope and to survive, to pace our feelings of grief. There is grace in denial. You know, it's not all a bad thing. It's just part of the process. You know, it's nature's way of letting in only as much as we can handle. So as you accept the reality of your loss and start to ask yourself questions, you're unknowingly beginning the healing process. So when something catastrophic happens and when you're going through grief, this is the very best advice that I can give you. Your needs are very, very basic. Think about your very, very basic needs. You need a lot of sleep because it's exhausting. When you start the grieving process, and you need more sleep because even physically, if you're not sick, your soul is sick, right? It's very sick. So you may not experience any physical symptoms other than being really tired, but you do need a lot of sleep because sleep really, really helps you. It helps your brain to think properly, and it helps your soul to heal. So you need sleep, you need to drink a lot of water, eat good foods, that are going to make your body operate properly, because again, it helps when you're taking care of yourself physically and pampering yourself, sort of, you know, then that really helps your brain work better. It helps your heart heal faster. You know, of course, you need a roof over your head, and I would say you need to be connected to at least one or two other people that are going to be able to support you. So, you know, if you, you know, live with a spouse or your children, I mean, you don't want to put your full weight on your kids, but, you know, you need to be loved. You know, I would say reach out to a parent or a really good friend or even a pastor, you know, someone. You need to be supported. You need, you know, and it's not even that you need advice. You just need to be loved and cared for. You know, so when people offer to talk or to bring you a meal or, you know, whatever, you know, take them up on it. Even if you don't really feel like going out in public, maybe you can, you know, they can come over and sit with you. Even if you just, you know, watch a funny movie or something, even if you don't really talk, just the fact that people are there for you and supporting you, caring for you, it means quite a lot, and your soul really needs that when you're going through grief. So the second stage of grief is anger. You know, and we live in a society that kind of fears anger. You know, a lot of us don't understand anger, and we think that anger is inappropriate. There's nothing about anger that's wrong. It's only the things that we do when we're angry that are wrong. So it's behaviors that we do when we're angry that's wrong. Anger is not wrong. It's just an emotion, and we feel a wide range of emotions. So, you know, anger is actually strength, and it can be an anchor, giving you a temporary structure to the nothingness of loss, right? You know, if you lose someone off the planet, you might think, you might, well, for example, my aunt, dear aunt, ignored a lump that was on her neck for a long time. And by the time she finally got it looked at, she had full-blown breast cancer, and she died from it. Totally preventable if she would have gotten help sooner, but she was scared. So when she died, it was a mix of emotions. We were kind of angry at her, you know, for not taking care of herself, because she could have lived and we could have had her around for a while. I mean, that was part of the process. Sometimes we're angry at God, you know, or whatever, for taking someone from us. I can tell you for sure that when my friend Lisa killed herself, it was a crazy cocktail of emotions, but we were angry that she made that choice, you know, that she didn't reach out or whatever. That was part of it. So anger is definitely part of it, especially if you're experiencing a breakup with a friend or a significant other, you know, that's definitely part of it, you know. I mean, how could they let me down? You know, or how could they have done this or that, you know? So it's necessary. You know, I have a good friend that's going through a breakup. It's been about 9 months. And her guy was real, real sweet, a real sweetheart. He had a win in the plus column more often than not, but there were significant ways that he let her down. And, you know, I've been working with her and telling her she needs to pay attention to those things, because in the end, you know, we need to decide how we should be treated, right? What we deserve. Now, you know, no one's going to fulfill those requirements all the time because nobody's perfect. But by and large, you know, we deserve to have people in our life that are going to have our backs and that are going to love and care for us. And the people that aren't doing so, that are actually harming us, or that we have to walk on eggshells with, we need to look at those relationships and minimize our interaction with people that don't have our highest good in mind. You know, that's food for thought. So anger is a necessary stage of grief. And another reminder, it's okay to feel anger. It's okay to experience it. It's how you respond to it and the actions that you take that can be wrong or right. You know, so it's kind of a structure. You know, you maybe get angry at someone or a person who's different now that your loved one has died. Maybe that's an anger that you feel. But you have a structure because you have an anger. And, you know, it just kind of helps move you forward. I know it sounds a little strange because it's something to hold on to, and a connection made from the strength of anger feels better than nothing. So the denial is nothingness. It's, you know, I can't believe this happened, or I'm not going to accept that it happened, right? So the next stage of grief is bargaining. You know, after you experience a loss, you know, you want to wake up and realize that it's just been a bad dream, you know. But we get caught in this if only or what if, like what if this didn't happen, then that wouldn't have happened. Or if only I would have, or if only they would have, or if only this didn't happen or whatever. You know, we want life returned to what it was before. We want our loved one restored, or we want our job back, or we want our, you know, maybe we had a bad car accident, our car is totaled, we want our car back, you know. You know, we want to find the tumor sooner, or recognize the illness more quickly in the case of my aunt, stop the accident from happening, if only, if only, if only. And, you know, it brings us usually a lot of guilt. It's bargaining's companion. You know, if only cause us to find fault in ourselves and what we think we could have done differently. You know, we might even bargain with the pain that we're experiencing. We'll do anything not to feel the pain. You know, so basically it's kind of keeping your ties to the past, not moving forward, you know, or we're tied to what life was before the event happened. You know, we try to negotiate our way out of the hurt. And people often think, you know, this might last, I don't know, a month or so. It's hard to say. I mean, people go through grief in their own time frame. I know I have a friend that her husband left her last year, and she was in such a deep depression. And as I was talking with her, she said, "Erica, please tell me, how long does it take till I feel better?" And although I really wanted to have that magical answer, there's no magical answer to that question because it takes as long as it takes. And that's why you need to be really, really kind to yourself and have people in your life that will support you and listen to you. You know, I mean, she said a million times, "I'm sorry that I'm being such a downer." And I'm like, you know, or "I don't want to dump on you all the time." And I'm like, you know, like, you've got to get it out. You just do. You have to get it out. You have to have people that you can be completely honest with. I mean, she was even fighting suicide, which wasn't a fun thing for me to hear, but at least she was talking about it. Because the thing is, if you're that low and that going through such a deep grief and you don't have anyone to talk to, that's when those actual thoughts of not wanting to go on can take root, and you can start planning a suicide if you don't have anyone to really talk to. You know, we're all as sick as our secrets, right? We talk about that a lot on the show. And so it's really, really important to speak things out loud, you know, because it takes the power away. So even though I didn't like hearing that she may want to end her life, I was glad that she was talking about it, because if she kept it inside, then she may actually go through with it, right? So bargaining is the third stage of grief, and, you know, it's past and also keeps us in guilt. If only we would have done this or that, that could have prevented the event from happening. You know, I went through a deep grief after my friend Lisa killed herself, right? That happened. It's been almost 3.5 years ago. And it, you know, it took a while for me to get past that. And I did write, I wrote a note in on my Facebook page about, you know, what it was like. You know, it's like we walk through this door and then we're struck with grief, like whatever the event is. We kind of walk through a door and our life is never the same. You know, when you have a kid, you know, for those of you who are parents, you know that when you walk, you know, when you have a child, it changes your life forever. You know, grief is like that too. When you experience an extreme loss and you're in deep grief, you know, it's like, you know, your world's never the same, like we talked about at the beginning. You know, and what I actually said, I went up to Cincinnati, which is where I'm from, for her funeral service. And I was telling my dad the next morning about the service and how great it was. There were so many people, so many stories, so many wonderful and meaningful conversations that I had with other friends and loved ones of my dear friend. And I said it was like we all took each other's hands and we walked through that door together. So that support was really important, but I realized something. We didn't walk through the door, we were pushed. I mean, that's how grief happens, you know. When we experience a loss, it's not as if we walk through a door. It's as though we're pushed. You know, we don't go willingly, and we didn't want that event to happen. If we did, we wouldn't be experiencing this deep grief, right? So for sure, I understand that. And once again, you know, we have a few more minutes left, and we're going to go through the last couple stages of grief and then how to really move forward from there. But if you do have a question, you can either use the chat room or you can also call in. The guest call-in number is 646-668-2473. And if you want a free coaching session with me, absolutely, I would love to do that and give you some tools to help you move forward. That's a service that I give to all of you because I'm passionate about you guys having a great life, not just getting by and getting through, but actually having the life that you love to participate in. So please call me. My direct number for my practice, Pull It Together, is 513-646-0767. All right. So the next stage of grief is, no doubt about it, depression. So after the bargaining and our attention moves squarely into the present, we feel empty. We've suffered a loss. I know I still miss my friend that killed herself 3.5 years ago, but you know what? I'm used to it now. I've dealt with the hole in my life, and I've filled it up with other things. So I'm used to her not being here. I still love her. I still miss her, yes. But I'm not feeling the pain of her not being there anymore, which is great. The depressive stage feels as though it will last forever, like we were talking about before, but it's important to understand that this depression isn't a sign that something's wrong with you or that you're mentally ill. It's really an appropriate and correct response to a great loss. You know, we withdraw from life. Like I said, you might not want to be out in public, you know, but go for a walk, you know, get out, feel the fresh air, you know, see the liveness of nature. You know, see that things are still alive. And, you know, if you're up north, which, of course, I live in Tampa Bay, so everything's green and it stays green. But I know that things are dying. Fall has fallen. The leaves have changed and the trees are bare, but they're still alive. They're still there. And if you're going through your own personal winter in a depression after a loss, you're still alive. And you're, metaphorically speaking, your tree will bud, blossom, and leave again. It will. I guarantee it. You know, it's people expect sometimes that you'll just get on with your life quickly. You know, it takes as long as it takes. You need to, like I said, be sure you're being hydrated, make sure that you're eating properly and so on. You know, if you don't experience depression after a loved one dies, that would be unusual. Or after, you know, you have a great loss. You know, and it's just part of the healing process. And the last stage of grief is acceptance. You know, and acceptance is often confused with the notion that you're all right or you're okay with what has happened, and that's not the case. You don't have to be okay with the event in order to accept it. You know, most people don't ever feel okay that their loved one's gone or their marriage broke up or they lost that job, you know, or whatever, you know. But we eventually accept it. We learn how to live with it. It's our new normal. And we have to learn how to live in the new reality. So, you know, it comes in time, and it really is, you know, just you accept what is, kind of the serenity prayer. God gives me the courage to accept the things I can't change. You know, we realize we can't change it, so we have to accept it and move on. And that's what I want to talk to you guys about. If you're in grief, please call me. I can help you. If you're into that acceptance, or if you're in the stage of grief, you know, like I said, please take excellent care of yourself. But also, you know, as long as you're on the planet, you have a purpose, and there's intention for you to be here. So if you're just making it through every day, the way to change that is to start visioning what you want in your life. So I will suggest to you to write down what kind of life that you want in your new reality. What are things that you might want to do, things you put on your bucket list? You know, I mean, you can say that things are on your bucket list, but you need to get intentional and write them down. Make a vision board. Go through magazines. Cut out things that speak to you, words and pictures. Think about it. It's your life. Pray about it. God has intention for you. You know, really, this is so important. And not even if you're in grief. You know, you might not be in grief, but you still need to get intentional. Every day is important. Like I said, this is Monday, November 16th, 2015, and it's the only one you're ever going to get. So live it. I mean, really live it. You know, go out today and live because you have breath, because you're on the planet, because there's a reason for you to be here today. So get intentional. Make your vision board. Write down what you want your life to look like. Focus on that. You know, the past is over. We can't change it, right? So make the most of it. For more tools and tips, please call me, 513-646-0767. I'm out of time again. This is Erica Black. You've tuned in to Pull It Together with Erica Black every Monday at noon here on Blog Talk Radio. I love you guys. Have a great, great week. See you next time. Bye.